This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Mike, and I get to share the word with you this morning. Before I do, though, I was listening to all those baptism things coming up, and I wanted to make sure you knew that if you were still thinking about being baptized, you can still sign up. It's kind of the last chance. We've got a class on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. So when you sign up, just plan on being at the class as well. If you've signed up already, we'll see you there on Tuesday, 6 o'clock, which is actually right here, where we'll talk all things baptism and getting ready for this next coming week. I'm super excited for all that. As Pastor Justin said, we are in our series called Love Your Neighbor. Today we're wrapping up. If you missed the last 2 weeks, Justin gave two great sermons. You'll want to check those out. You can jump on our website or on our YouTube and catch up on those, where he talks about loving your physical neighbor and kind of laying a foundation for what it means to love your neighbor. Super fun. It's been a great time just being in this series together. Today, we're going to be in 1 John 4. 1 John 4. So if you have a Bible, grab that. If you need a Bible, there's one under the seats in front of you, or you can open your device and head over to 1 John 4. It's going to be all the way to the back of the Bible. Don't be ashamed, though, if you want to open to the table of contents and find it. It's totally fine. As you're flipping there, 1 John 4, I wanted to give you just a quick thought on this. This book is thought to be authored by the Apostle John. John is the one that it's written about him, that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. And so this is kind of who he is. We're going to talk more about this book and who it's addressed to and all that as we kind of work through the message today. But we're going to jump actually right in. So hopefully you're right there. If you aren't there yet, no worries. Keep on flipping. We're going to be in 1 John 4, 7. And I'm curious if you've been in the series with us, if it'll remind you of another verse that we talked about. So 1 John 4, 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 8 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." John echoes a command that Jesus gave actually in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34. He says, "This is a new command that I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's a lot of the word love, right? That's a lot of love. It actually makes me ask a question, because I think we hear that word a lot, love, and it makes me go, well, what are they talking about? What really is love? What is love? What do you think of when you think of love? Maybe you've heard it in a song.
What is love?
Maybe that one. I don't know. But clearly it's in our music. They're already having some questions. What is love? But I'm curious, though, have you ever really wondered what love is? Because I know that. Right? There's so many people that talk about what love is that it just gets confusing from time to time. And our music has this. Maybe you have to go back to a few of these songs to think about it. But it's all through our music where people are trying to explore what love is, trying to figure out what it is. And actually, I want to have you listen to one more by the renowned philosopher Bob Marley. He says it this way. Maybe you can think of a few others, but all of these are people trying to figure out what love is. And I think we have to go to that first to figure out what Jesus is talking about and what John is talking about in this book. I want to show you one more thing here. It's from a movie called Up. Maybe you haven't seen this movie. It's an older animated movie. But the scene that I'm going to show you is where we get to meet a dog, and the dog's name is Doug. And I want you to notice what the dog says right away.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
And that's how we are going to be the rest of the service, right? Squirrel. But the dog, he asks the question right away, right? Or he says something right away. He says, hello, my name is Doug. I've just met you, but I love you, right? And that's kind of how our animals are. We're like, we at least assume they love us. But this word, love, is tricky. And it's tricky in English because we only have one word for the word love. And it means a lot of different things, like romantic love or brotherly love or love for a friend or lots of other things. So I want us to go to the word today to understand what the basis is for all love. Where does it come from and what does it really mean? So you're right where you need to be if you've already found 1 John 4. We're going to go on to the next verse, verse 9, and continue reading there. This is how God showed his love among us. It's pretty straightforward, right? He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Just for clarity, right? Pretty straightforward. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So according to these verses, what is love? This is huge. Like, you read these verses, this is gigantic. It literally should change everything about us. What is love according to these verses? He sent his son, Jesus, that we might live through him, through Jesus. God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us, for our sins. So what is that? And who does that, right? Like, who sends their son as an atoning sacrifice? I want us to flip it a minute. Think about this with me a minute. Not from the receiving end like we normally think, like I'm receiving the love from God, but like kind of put yourself on the other side and think about it. The giving end. God looks on us with such love that he sends his son on a mission, a painful mission. A mission that ends up with him dying. Would you do that? Would you send one of your family members on a mission, a painful mission for somebody that you don't know, that you haven't even necessarily met yet, that ultimately ends up with them dying? This is huge. It changes. It gives us a lot more depth to what this love really is. That's tough. The good news is, though, that Jesus defeats death. See, death thought the score was 20 billion to 1, but the score really is 1 to 0 because Jesus beat it. The whole point was Jesus is our substitute. That's what that atoning word is in the verses that we just read. It points us to verse 10. See, Jesus, he subs in for us. He, like on a sports team, but a lot more serious. Take it like this. Jesus comes up and he subs you out at the most painful and the most crucial moment in your life. He takes and carries all of your sin, all of your wrongdoing, and he suffers the consequences for all of it, all that you will do, all that you have done. But guess what? You and I still get the reward. This is love. See, in verse 8, it says, God is love. It literally says that, right? Maybe you've heard that out and about, or you've seen it written on signs, and you're like, oh, that's a nice, catchy little cliche. No, that's actually from the Bible. That's not a cliche. That's what the word says. God is love. So if you searched, if you searched the word love, I wish that this happened, but I wish that you could search the word love on the internet or using your favorite AI or ChatGPT, and then all it would say afterwards is just God. I think that would be a more clear description of what love is. Sometimes we want to put all these definers behind it and explain what it is. Well, God is love. So to know what love is, you got to know God. So you can't talk about love without it reflecting on God, and you can't talk about God, at least if you want to know all of him, without talking about love. His love is sacrificial, Uber in German. It's lo maximo. It's above and beyond. His love is complete and full and above whatever we think it is or whatever we could imagine ourselves. 1 John 3:18, just the chapter before, says this to add to our conversations. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In this verse, the author encourages us not to love with words or speech, but with actions and his truth. Does that mean we never use words to express love? No, I don't think that's what he means. It means just that if you say you're going to do something, then you got to actually do it. See, if you choose to say something but you don't do it, that's not love. Reminds me of a video meme from a while back that was made about a toddler. Let me show you this meme real quick.
Sophia?
Dad?
Did you take my phone?
No.
Right? Who doesn't love that little toddler laughing like that? Oh my goodness, it's so cute. This might be funny, but it's exactly what we do sometimes, right? When the toddler goes, or when the mom goes, Sophia, did you take my phone? And the toddler's like, no. Did the baby take the phone? Yeah, obviously, right? We know the baby did. And what does the baby do? Takes off running. Ah! Right? And that's what we do when we say one thing, but we do another. Every time that we say things like, I'll pray for you, but then we don't. And every time we say, I'll make a meal for you, but then we don't. Or even if we just stop with our words, right? Like we say things that are really nice, like, I hope the best for you. But you just leave words, and there's no action to follow that up. Or even if you simply say, I love you, but you don't have anything behind it, it's just the words. You just stop. I love you, period. See, the words need to line up with our actions. Our actions need to speak love. There's a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, written a while back by a guy named Brennan Manning, and he says the greatest single cause of atheism, that's the belief that there is no God, so the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out of the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. That's tough, right? But that's so true, because when they see somebody who claims the name Christian, but then they aren't actually like Jesus, that's tough. Now, the understanding part there's a lot to it, right? We're not Jesus, though. We're not. We get to be like him. We get to be made like him, and we're continuing to do that. But this is a great challenge from Brennan Manning on this. Our actions need to line up with our words. I want to share a story that I heard about this week about a Christian artist named Forrest Frank. Maybe you've heard of him. He's kind of blowing up all over the place. Forrest Frank is a Christian artist, but he's on Christian radios, but he's also been played on a lot of secular music or just any radio station lately. He's been kind of big. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe not, but I'll let you listen to this song real quick and see if it reminds you of him.
I was down, but now I'm up. Yeah. It's all God, this ain't no love. Yeah.
So this is the guy we're talking about. Well, back in July, in the middle of July, I read a story about him, and in the middle of this, what had happened was he was skateboarding at his house. This is what I read. So he was skateboarding at his house, and he falls, and he breaks his back, and there's a video of it. You could see it if you wanted to online, and he talks a lot more in depth about it, but he says that this is one of the most painful experiences, if not the most painful experience of his life. It made him immobilized. He was not able to move. He was bedridden. And while he's in bed experiencing this tough time for him and his family, though, he writes another song, which I just think is kind of cool.
This guy's got my back. Even when I fall, he'll get attacked.
So whether or not you like the style of music, I can appreciate him giving it back to God. And in the tough moments that he's giving glory back to God and reminding himself of these truths. Well, this week I was reading about this, watching some of this, and some other Christian artists, maybe you've caught this as well, have made some spoofs. So they've made some other versions of his same thing. And in their doing so, they came across in a certain way where maybe some of them weren't even necessarily appropriate to be played in a church, I think. But some of them were making fun of him in a way that I think needed to be called to attention. And Forrest Frank actually calls out a few of these people, and he talks directly to them in a way, because this is all happening online in the last week. And I think it can come across that, you know, okay, Forrest Frank's a Christian, and some of these other guys are Christians, and they're making spoofs about something that happened in one of their life. It kind of looks unloving as Christians. And that I think is important to talk about. So I want to show you, Forrest Frank is talking to Corey Asbury, actually, in this short video. And I wanted to kind of give you his words about this story. So go ahead and show that.
This is like the 10th or even the 20th post I have seen from another Christian artist making fun of probably the most traumatic moment of my life, my wife's life. I can totally understand the fact you guys are just having fun. To everybody who's making these videos, I'm not telling you to stop, but this raises a really interesting conversation with social media. All that being said, Corey, I'm still gonna write you a song.
It's okay if you feel misunderstood. There's a man who did as well when they nailed him to wood. And even through all the pain, still he forgave them. So I can forgive somebody too.
I don't know if you caught it, and I don't know if you're up to speed on all of it, but I hear that can be kind of taken two ways, but I hear love in that. First, he's singing about Jesus' love, right? But he's extending an olive branch. He's reaching his hand across the table to another artist to say, hey, this is how this is coming across. This is my honest, transparent truth in my life, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to understand what's going on there. And Corey, if it had stopped there, I think we'd be in a problem. And I think a lot of people probably did stop there as they heard this one thing and they're like, wow, what a jerk. Christians are not very loving to each other. But Corey, actually, this week, he responds. And so I want to show you part of his response to Forrest.
Forrest Frank, I saw your video, man. My phone has been absolutely blowing up, brother. Let me take this opportunity to say, I apologize, man. I never meant to poke fun at anything that you were going through. I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but you've been kind of blowing up, and your content is almost a template to have fun and create. So everybody's jumping on it. I experienced this with Reckless Love, people sort of coming out of the woodwork to attach themselves to that, to get some views and some likes from it. So, bro, I apologize for being one of those people. I heard your song, and I think it's really powerful, man. I'm down to go there with you, bro.
And I think it's awesome that he responds, right? He owns his part. He apologizes for his part. And they're probably going to make a song out of it, which would be awesome. But there's something beautiful about that, where they turn this moment that could be just Christians not loving each other into a redemptive moment. And I see it in it because I see some sacrificial love going back and forth, being transparent, honest, owning the failures and the hurts. And this is where Christians can help point back to Jesus. We're not Jesus, but we're called to love like him. In 1 John 4, the next verse, verse 11, we're going to jump to that. It essentially says what John said at the beginning. Dear friends, since God so loved us. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I'm going to skip down a few verses to verse 20. We're going to keep reading there. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So these two things are mutually exclusive, right? You can't love God but hate a brother or sister. If you love God, it means you must love others. But who's he talking about here? Who is my brother and sister in these verses? Does John mean my blood brother, like the person maybe sitting next to you? Or your adopted sister? No, not necessarily. The one another, brother and sister, friends language that you read all through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is all directed at the church. As a matter of fact, the Bible verses we read today is a letter written to the church, specifically the churches that John would have been overseeing, which was over in Asia Minor. That's who 1 John is directed at. When it was first written, it was intended for the church to read it, for the brothers and sisters in Jesus to read it and learn from it. See, there's other parts of the Bible that talk about loving your enemies and love for those across the world, but today, in this chunk, is really about loving people in your community, in your church. Because these verses, I think, they refer back to John's gospel in chapter 13, 35. John quotes Jesus, who says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." By this, underline the word this to refer to what is this? If you love one another. And if you do that, what's going to happen? People will know that you are my disciples. It will be obvious that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, we're called to love one another in the church at large, the global church, but like John was directing as well, in the local church. Here, the people in this room, the people you do small group with. Shameless plug, if you're not in a group, you're missing out on the love you can give others and they can give you, because we love different. We love different. We love different than the world loves. We love different than what is love? We love sacrificially. We love Christians in general this way. The way Corey and Forrest are trying to love each other, maybe not perfectly, but they're taking steps. But it's got to start in the church, you guys. It starts in this room today. I love, one of the things I love about our church is every Sunday we do something right at the beginning. Justin asked you today, this morning, if you would turn and greet each other. And that's something that I think is just different. It's different than our general society, right? Like if you walk into Meijer today, what happens? Somebody greets you at the front door, right? That's very nice. I love that. It's beautiful. But then when you walk down the aisles, are you continually greeted? Right? No, you're not. But here we ask everybody to be a part. That'd be kind of weird if you walked into Meijer and everybody's like, "Hello, welcome to Meijer," right? But still, in this place, we get to acknowledge each other as humans, and it's powerful. I think my first time here, I noticed that, and that was compelling to me. That spoke to me because I was like, wow, okay. You guys are taking a moment not just to see me as maybe a number or another person here, but rather you care about me enough to acknowledge, and not just the pastor, but the people. That's powerful. There's a way, I think, that we can, there's lots of ways I think we continue to be like Jesus to people in this room. What do you think it would take for somebody to walk into our church and the doors here and go, wow, that's different than the world? They really care about each other. What do you think it would take to do that? Sometimes we think it's the people who have been here longer or have known Jesus longer or who are older than you, maybe your parents. They're the ones that are supposed to love first. Maybe they are. But guess what? Jesus didn't say that. He said, God loved you, so you are to love each other. He didn't put any, you know, exceptions around that little bubble right there. It was, no one gets to escape this or wait on this. God is love. If we are his children and following him, we love self-sacrificially. Being the first to love is self-sacrificial. See, God did this with us, right? He loved before we could or would. I dare you. I dare you today to beat someone else to loving them in this place. Could you help someone new find their way around the building? Could you, more than just saying hi, could you introduce yourself first? Could you let someone else snag coffee first? I know, that's a tough one. Could you clean up a mess for someone else? Could you pray for someone here today? Listen, there's a lot of different ways. I just wanted to give you a few. These things have been done for me here. But I want us to listen and look for these opportunities. The example is ginormous, right? Jesus died as a demonstration of God's love. It's this love that's the example. So no matter the fears that we have today that want to hold us back or the lack of skill we think we have maybe at praying or doing any of the other things, it's the love for God that helps us to overcome it. Because the top goal is they know God's love and have the opportunity to love and follow him too. At Bridgeway, we offer a few things to encourage a loving community. One of those is groups. I've been a part of groups. Maybe you have too, but I've been a part of groups where when we had a baby, that they were started bringing us meals to help us get through that tough time. And I know I've seen and heard many others that are doing the same. I've been a part of groups that when something breaks or is beyond our capacity to fix, that we've banded together and fixed that. Where we've shared vehicles when vehicles are down or broken. I've been a part of groups where we helped another person outside of that group, where we cared for widows in the church expecting nothing back. We were able to do that. I've been a part of groups where when life gets tough, when marriages struggle, when I'm having down moments or broken bones, where people have taken the time to slow down and to offer an encouraging word and to remind me of God's love in the middle of it. If you're not in one, you got to check one out. There's also a few teams here that are specifically focused on loving people in the church. I'll have our worship team start making their way up here as I talk about these. These are just a few of them. We've got a knit and crochet team. This team literally does that. They knit and crochet. They make blankets. Maybe some of you have even been blessed by some of these, but specifically are making these and then giving them away either to newborn babies or to people that are working through cancer, those kinds of things that they've been able to bless others in the church. We have a meals team that maybe you've been blessed by this, that when new babies come around or when there's an injury or when there's just a moment that the family needs an extra meal, that this team has offered many meals. There's a prayer team that if you're online and you click that prayer button, or if you're in the room and you scan that QR code and you ask for prayer, this team prays for it. Not just the pastors, but there's a team of people that you are all a part of that pray for it. There's a soul care team. This team is all about one-on-one conversations, confidential conversations to talk about life. I'm trained in soul care, and it's an opportunity to take advantage of that as well, where they can care and just listen to what's going on. If any of these sound like things that maybe you'd want to be a part of, you can click that, you can scan that QR code, you can jump on our website and click the Join a Team button, and all the teams are listed there. Lots of different ways to kind of be a part of them. Or maybe it's simply that one of these teams that you could be blessed by, you could receive some love today. Now that's an opportunity as well. You can jump on our website and click the Connect button or the Care button, and we'd love to care for you. Here's the challenge, though. The challenge is to love the love that you and I have received. The challenge is to give it to those in the seats next to you. The love that we've received, let's give it to those in the seats next to us, whether that's today or in the weeks to come. Let's love so strongly that people couldn't deny that it's different, that they couldn't deny that Jesus, that his spirit is in us. Let me pray for us today. Father God, thank you so much for your example of self-sacrificial love, for creating a way for us to have a relationship with you today. Holy Spirit, I pray that as we're captivated by your love, that you would give us eyes to see the opportunities to love others in this place today. Help us to have the courage to love first without expectation. Spirit, help us to love like you love. So much so that others couldn't help but identify us as followers of Jesus and ultimately be drawn to you because of it. God, I thank you so much for who you are, for how you love, and that you love us and that you're with us. God, I pray a blessing over us as we go and we love like you do. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages, or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.